Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to Driven to Business. We're going to be talking about something today that I was having a hard time titling the program, but we're going to talk about companies in decline, and not just in a third-party type sense, like other people in decline. I want to talk a little bit about perhaps you in decline, and what do you do about it, and in your company, and how do you handle it? Well, you know, almost all companies, including mine, including yours, including anybody's company or organization, will experience times of decline. It's almost inevitable. When I first formed my company, we had very little financing, operating pretty close to the bone there in terms of money. And if we had a bad month, it would just panic me. I wouldn't be able to sleep, or I'd just be a miserable human being the whole time that we had a bad month. And conversely, when we had a really good month after that, I was just ecstatically happy. And I had to sort of have a talk with myself and sort of pull myself in the middle of the road and say that you don't need to be doing either one of those. You need to get a more even keel here, because you're going to have good months. You're going to have bad months. You don't get so excited in the good months that you run out and spend a bunch of money. And then all of a sudden, so you're more worried in the bad months. But people do absolutely do that. One of the questions you need to ask yourself, though, if your business is in a decline, if you're having a bad month, is it just a bad month? Well, if it is, okay. Maybe you need to, fine-tune your sales a little bit, do this, that, the other. Maybe it's a good time to catch up on cleaning some things up you didn't, in your software or in your, perhaps even physically cleaning your place of business up while you're slow. If it's not a trend, if it's just it happens every now and then, perhaps you're a seasonal business, or perhaps, your business just hits a bad month once in a while. That's no big deal. Nothing to worry about. However, is it a trend? If it's a trend, then maybe you do need to have something to worry about. Maybe you need to take a look at it. Jim Collins wrote a great book. He's written a lot of great books, but one of the books that he wrote called How the Mighty Fail, and he's got a statement in there I really like. It says that I've come to see institutional decline like a staged disease. Let me say it again. I've come to see an institutional decline like a staged disease. Harder to detect, but easier to cure, harder to detect, but easier to cure in the early stages, easier to detect, but much harder to cure in the last stages. In other words, if you catch, it's like most things, if you catch it early, like a disease, if you think about it, if you catch it early, it may be hard to spot. You can have a disease in you somewhere and you don't even have any symptoms. So you go for a checkup with a doctor and he's doing blood work and says, your whatever's a little higher. We better do something about that. That's pretty easy to fix at that stage. But when you begin to really have the symptoms of that disease, like you've had, some serious disease and you really, really, really are beginning to have the symptoms of it, it may mean it's very advanced at that point and difficult to deal with. It's the exact same thing in a business. The early stages of decline in a business are hard to detect, but pretty easy to fix once you do detect them. However, later on, when the decline becomes very apparent to you and the symptoms of it are very, very, very apparent, not just to you, but to everybody, the cure is a lot harder. Stopping a decline when you're in one isn't, and we're going to talk about this a little more as the day goes on, but stopping a decline isn't necessarily a change solution, although that's where we all run to. We see our company or our institution, our organization, in a decline, we sort of go into panic mode. We go out and change everything. We got to change everything we're doing. We've got to start doing this different, this different, this different, and this different. And in fact, that change can make it worse. It can make it worse because you're not thinking out what you're doing. There are more ways to fail than to succeed. You ever think about that? I've told people in the past that I sort of view business a little bit like you've got sort of a screw up jar out here, and you've got so many screw ups in that jar, and you don't know how many is in there, but you've certainly got one, and you've got some screw ups, and you can pull screw ups out of that jar, and you screw this up and screw that up, and you pull a couple of screw ups out of there, and you keep on going, everything's fine. But there is some time in there, and none of us know when that is, when you're going to get to the bottom of that jar, and this is a screw up that really sinks your company. So the trick is, of course, there are a lot of ways to fail. a lot of ways to fail. What you have to do is try to plan to succeed. You know, some of the changes people may try in a company, they begin to see the decline. And I've been tempted to do this myself, and I've seen other people do it. One of the things you'll see people do sometimes is run out and hire a superstar. They'll go hire themselves, perhaps away from the competition, go hire a superstar sales guy, thinking, okay, our revenues are declining. We've got to have more sales. So rather than working with the salespeople I've got here, we're going to go hire this outsider superstar. Let me tell you, from my experience and from almost everybody I know, that doesn't work. You know, what made that guy a superstar at that other company is not necessarily what's going to make him one with you. And the problem is, as I found out and as many people find out, the problem is not with the fact that you don't have a superstar employee. The fact is that you don't have systems and support structures in place to allow a person to be a superstar, and that's what you got to deal with. Back there, maybe introduce another thing people do in a panic sort of is run out and let's introduce new products or new services. Well, if you thought that really through and done a lot of market research and that's really going to work well, fine. There are times certainly to introduce new products and new services, but I can tell you the time to do it probably is not when you see yourself in a decline. You probably need to deal with the roots of the decline. If it turns out that your products are obsolete, okay, fine. Do something about that, and get that going. But don't just run out and do that. The other thing you see people, they will really just go crazy and go out and just in panic and just start firing people. Well, that's really silly too, because if you do turn it around, you're going to need those people. What are you going to do then? You think they're coming back after you dismissed them? The answer is probably they're not going to do that. Jim Collins, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this, in his book that I mentioned earlier, Good to Great, goes through, and I think it's just very well put together, he goes through the five, what he calls five stages of company decline. One thing I do like about Collins, and the reason I do read him often and I quote him pretty often, Collins is not a guy that just spouts off an opinion. Collins forms his opinions after he does research. He doesn't form an opinion and then go do research. He is a consummate researcher. Does very meticulous research, and then when he's giving you these stages, they're the results of research, not just what somebody dreamed up one day. So he gives five stages of company decline. The first one we've talked about on the program here before is hubris born of success, or to make that more simple, it's arrogance that's brought on by your own success. I see this all the time in people where they've had a little bit of success with a company. They're totally mistaken on why they had that success, but they assume it's because they know stuff other people don't know, or they are somehow superior to other people. I'll be honest with you, in running my own career in business, this is something that terrifies me, because I think everybody is tempted into this. You've had success. The temptation is to say, I did this all by myself. I pull myself up here, and I know everything. Here's the problem with that. When you take a mindset like that, you stop looking at the ground around you, and you stop learning. I'm going to tell you a story a little bit later about a very interesting episode that involves Sam Walton and how he's very different, than that. But there's a hubris born of success. This is when the rhetoric of your success begins to sound like, we're great not only because we know what to do, but we're great because we do these five things. And some people will write down, these are the six things you must do to be successful, da 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 da. Well, the problem is what they're not thinking about is why those things are successful. And that may sound like a subtle difference, but it's not subtle at all. The idea of talking about because we do certain things as opposed to why we do certain things, it's the underlying reasons why that those things worked that give you insight. It will also tell you why they may not work in a different type of economy or in a different economic circumstance or in a different time period. That's where people run into big problems. by doing that. Again, we'll come back to that in a little bit. The idea of hubris or arrogance born of success. That's the first stage of failure. And that's a great thing to have in mind. Arrogance is the first step to failure. Those of you that know something about the Bible know the Bible talks about that that whenever a man thinks he's, if a man thinks he stands, he's about to fall. That beware when you think you stand, you're about to fall. It's the same thing in business. Whenever you get to thinking that you've got it made, you know everything, other people don't know it, that's when to watch out. You might fall down. So that's the first stage, according to Jim Collins' research. The first step to failure is hubris born of success. The second step that Collins talks about is the undisciplined pursuit of more. And this is just a growth mentality. We've done a program here on Driven to Business about the idea of undisciplined growth, about the idea that you make growth a given instead of a disciplined decision, and you really should make it a disciplined decision. I'd said several times on here that I used to be shocked when I would look at the Inc. 500 some years ago, and then I would see that companies on that Inc. 500 were out of business the year after being one of the fastest growing companies in the country. They're out of business, and it used to startle me. But it happens more than you might think because of the fact that the undisciplined pursuit of more means you outgrow your abilities to do that. One of the very simple things you outgrow is your ability to put the right people in the right seats in that company. Collins, as you may know, is very big on using a bus analogy, and I think it's a great analogy too. He uses the idea that if you think of business as a bus, so your business or your organization as a bus, and the leader of that organization's job is to put the right people in the right seats on that bus, because most of us just intuitively think the idea is the what we as a leader should be doing is driving that bus. But Collins says, no, your idea is to put the right people in the right seats on that bus, and that will determine where you can go. Hey, by the way, we're streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. More to come. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. We're talking about the reasons that companies decline and we're going to be talking a little later on about what to do about it. I've been talking so far, I'm sort of using a little bit of Jim Collins' great book, How the Mighty Fall, and sort of going over his stages, or what he delineates as the stages of a company failure. Let me continue that. The first thing he said was that hubris born of success, or in other words, arrogance. Arrogance brought about by your own success. The fact that you're successful in something tends to make us think we know everything about it. We quit listening to anyone else, and our success kind of ruins us. You do hear that, success ruined that guy or something like that, and you hear that all the time. The second one, which may be a little less, that's the first stage. The second stage that he talks about in the decline of a company is something a little less obvious. It's the undisciplined pursuit of more. The undisciplined pursuit of more. We can do anything. We're so wonderful. We can do anything. That's the idea. And that's when an organization grows beyond its ability to service its customers and in particular, the ability to fill its seats with the right people. The third stage that Collins talks about is the denial of risk and peril. Now, this is just simply a denial stage. And this is where the internal warning signs inside that company are sort of flashing at you, but you're ignoring them because things outside are looking pretty good. So you think, well, things are just fine. They're going to continue like they are. I remember hearing a story years ago, I'm dating myself, but when I went to college, we used a slide rule to do math on. There was a company whose name I can't think of right now at the moment, and that built slide rules and did a great job at it. And they had an outside consultant come in to tell them how their business was doing. And this guy said, you guys' business is doing great. You have very large market share. They're brand labeling. They're selling your own brand. They're brand labeling for other people. And they were making a large percentage of those slide rules that were being made that time. So, you guys, the future's bright here. You guys have really got a great company going on. failing to realize there was a little company called Texas Instruments over there in Dallas who had just invented this thing called the electronic calculator, which was going to be the absolute end of the slide rule. And again, this is one of those things where we're great because we know, because we build slide rules. That makes us great. Instead of looking at why do you build slide rules, well, again, go back to this. Why? They built slide rules to do math calculations. They were in the math calculation business, not in the slide rule business. Had they realized that, at this time, this slide rule company could have probably bought Texas Instruments at that time and still be, perhaps even today, a leader in that kind of market. But they let it go. They did not get it done. This is also where leaders is a real tendency of leaders in companies is to begin to blame. When they begin to see things going bad, they blame external forces. Well, you know, my competitors are unfair, or the market has just changed where I can't really compete anymore, and this kind of thing. The idea is that that is anybody's fault but theirs. That's a huge problem. You know, there's something very empowering about saying that I am the problem. And although that may sound like that's almost a foolish thing to say in a way, but here's the deal. It's very empowering. And here's why it's empowering. If I am the problem, then I am the solution. And that's a lot easier to deal with than these vague external things that I have no control over are a problem, and therefore you can't do it. It is human nature to do that. We kind of chuckle in our company. We employ field service engineers that go out in the field and repair sometimes very complex problems. And I've been doing this for a long, long, long time. One thing I've noticed is in human nature in troubleshooting. I've written a couple of magazine articles about this, about troubleshooting. If it is human nature, when you go out and look at a problem of any kind, but let's take what I know about the electronic type problem, it is human nature to jump to the conclusion when you walk in the door and you want to know what's wrong. Human nature is to immediately gravitate to the most complicated thing you can think of, and usually something you don't really understand. I don't know why we're like that. We just do. We immediately assume it's something we can't really understand. It's the most complex thing we can work up in our mind, and that's the electronic problem. When you know, research indicates, and this is not just my opinion, this is research, for electrical and electronic problems, the vast majority of problems are loose wires. Even in today's digital world, they're loose wires and dirty connections and things of that sort. Those are the main problems. It's you immediately jump down and say, well, the microprocessor must be bad inside that unit. Probably not. It's probably not plugged in, and some of you may have had this embarrassing thing happen to you. You know, you can't get your computer to come on, and you're all mad about it, and you find out it's not plugged up. And you know how annoying, how embarrassing it is. Well, that happens to a lot of people. That kind of thing happens to a lot of people. And it's because we immediately jump to the problem. I play in a church band on Sundays, and sometimes we have sound problems, and immediately everybody starts to think we have this great digital soundboard. Immediately everybody thinks it's something to do with that digital soundboard. Like, hey, just unplug your cable and plug it back in and see if that doesn't resolve the problem. It does a lot because that's most of the problems. Well, it's the same way in a company. You tend to have a problem. Instead of looking at yourself, which is a pretty simple problem, you're looking outside at all these other things that you don't really understand, and you blame them. And that kind of makes you powerless in a way, doesn't it? Because how are you going to deal with things you don't even understand? But if you look back at yourself and you say, the problem is me, well, I can do something about me. And therefore, it's empowering because now I've got a path to get on. I need to improve me. I need to fix me. And if I fix me, I'll fix the company. You know, we've got wrong people employed here. Well, who hired them? Oh, I did. Well, then whose problem is that? Well, it's me. And so I'm the problem. I'm the solution. It's a great way to do it. There's a great story it took place in England many years ago at a British military academy. And this old, revered, sort of half-retired soldier was teaching this group of cadets, and he was talking to them about leadership and how to lead a great military company. And one of the young cadets there asked him, said, well, sir, what if you are assigned a crummy company? What if you just have a crummy company? And the guy says, son, if you have a crummy company, it just means you're a crummy leader. That's it. In other words, it's back on you. And again, that's very empowering. Take responsibility for yourself and deal with it. So stages again, the first stage, hubris born of success. The second stage, the undisciplined pursuit of more, just according to Jim Collins. The third, the denial of risk and peril. And the fourth, which is a much worse stage, these are all sliding kind of down a hill, is grasping for salvation. This is where panic really hits in. This is where the decline is now obvious to everybody. There's no question about the fact the company is in decline. This is when people begin leaving the company. The talented people begin saying, I don't want to work here. You know, this company's on the way out. You see it with companies, you see it with churches, you see it with clubs, you see it with many other organizations, where all of a sudden you've gone into this grasping for salvation and all kinds of crazy things sometimes people do to try and stop that. They literally are, the idea of someone drowning and you're literally grasping every life ring or anything floating in the area. A lot of companies do not recover from this area. This sometimes is it for companies. They end up doing that. And the final thing you get down to is what Collins calls capitulation to either irrelevance or death. Your company's either your organization is going to be either completely irrelevant or it's absolutely going to go away. Companies can stumble and recover, but it's difficult. You know, we're often forced to do things in bad times that we should have been doing in good. I'll talk more about that after the break. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're here every Saturday at 11 o'clock right here on Atlanta's Biz 1190. Back in just a minute. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're glad you're here. We're talking about companies in decline. We went through what I was sort of using a Jim Collins out of his book, sort of stealing some of his ideas and just using his terms. But, you know, basically he says that the five stages of company decline are hubris or arrogance, born of success, the undisciplined pursuit of more, denial of risk and peril, grasping for salvation, and finally, capitulation to irrelevance or death. You know, I said right before the break, sometimes bad times can be actually a bit good for you in a way. It's just like, and that's true, you probably could make all sorts of comparisons to things in your own character, your own upbringing, where it was difficult times. It's sort of where you learn to develop character and be that way. We know sometimes companies are that way too. Companies sometimes emerge from bad times much, much better than they were when they went in. But one of the things that I think it does, if your company all of a sudden hits a wall and you're having a tough time, it will make you to make some decisions. It will force you to make some decisions that truthfully, in hindsight, you should have made when things were going well. And I'm talking about things like watching your spending and making sure that your systems are in fact organized and that you're doing all sorts of things like that. Whereas sometimes when things are really good, we all get just a little lazy, I guess. The success kind of makes us complacent, and I tend to find that as a very common thing. In our company, one of the first really large jobs I got was a number of years ago, and it was a big job. It was almost a $2 million job, which for us was huge. We picked up, and it was a lot of, and we made good profits out of it. But it was a job. It took about 2 years to complete this. It was a big electronic rebuild type thing. It took us about 2 years overall to get it done, and we made I thought things were going great in the company. And the reason I thought things were going great on that job was carrying us, and I didn't realize it. I thought our base business was still up, doing well, but that big job kind of masked what we were doing. Well, then when that big job ended, all of a sudden, we were having a real hard time being profitable. And I would pull out our books and I'd look at them and think, why aren't, you know, we did enough business last month, we should have made a profit. How are we losing money? And honestly, it took me a while to find this. I actually hired an outside consultant to come in and help me look at it. And we just sort of went with a fine-tooth comb through all of our financials, through all of our processes and everything. And what I found had happened was that during that job, when the sort of you know, money was kind of flowing in. We were, I had allowed a lot of creep to take place in our expenses that really should not have taken place. I had, and I'd had some lackadaisical personnel issues that I had not dealt with, some fairly unproductive people at that time. And by allowing those things to go on and not dealing with them, which is what I should have been doing when things were good, when that big job went away, it sort of unmasked them. And it made me do some things that, quite frankly, needed doing even when that job was going on. But again, that's life. People are like that. You know, rather sometimes if you find yourself in decline and you want to turn the business around, rather than something new, the path to recovery for you might lie in just returning to some sound leadership principles. It did for me. There's a great story about a CEO of McDonald's who had been called into the room, and his people were telling him they were declining sales, stock prices declining, all things sort of things going down. And he had a meeting with his people, and they were telling him, they did a big presentation about how people's tastes were changing, and that the hamburger business was really a bad business now to be in, and they couldn't help if they were losing money, and da 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 da. And this guy kind of interrupted him finally and said, "Well, I've been visiting McDonald's, and the problem here is dirty restrooms and surly employees." He said, "That's the problem here, and we're going to fix that starting today." And he was able to turn it around and pull the profits back up again. It's just a matter of returning, perhaps, back to sound leadership practices. Perhaps you've gotten lackadaisical in it. You know, a really good company can actually thrive in bad times, and there's several reasons for that. One of them may be, you know, bad times can force your competitors into the dirt. That's happened to us a few times. There used to be a lot more people that did what we did at one time, and then the whole industry sort of went into a real economic downturn, and it got a little tougher to do business, and all of a sudden, we were really, really struggling for the business that we had to do. We had to start doing a really good job with customer service and a really good job with marketing and things of that sort. And some of our competitors didn't do that. Well, they ended up going out of business is what happened. And consequently, we actually began to thrive during these bad times with a lot of new business because, I'm not saying we were the only people around. We weren't then. We aren't now. We certainly have competitors. But we were able to grow quite a bit. You know, we doubled. One of the years we doubled was a very down economic year for a lot of people. We doubled in size in our company, and those kinds of things can actually happen to you. So, you know, because things get kind of tough, there is a positive way to look at that. Collins talks about, going back to Jim Collins, about two possible approaches you can take to a decline, and I think it's insightful. Here's number one. The approach to the approach to your business in general can be to downplay or discount your success. Basically saying, you know, when I look at this, we were lucky to get here at all. We happen to be in the right place at the right time. Our competitors, there were not that much competition in this field. We just happened to, this new product came out about the time we picked it up, and I happened to run into a guy here, and a series of events happened that made us very successful, and we're really very fortunate to be where we are. That's one approach. The other approach is to say, hey, look, we're so smart. We got here because we're smarter than everybody else. We're good. We deserve the success because we're just so much better than everybody else. And other people didn't see what we saw. You probably put a personal pronoun that they didn't see what I saw. And consequently, I deserve the success. And I'm thank goodness for me and my insights, or we wouldn't be successful at all. Well, look at the first approach, the more humble approach. Look at the downside to that. There's very little downside to it. All that will happen is you'll get stronger. As you are humble in approaching what you don't know, you'll just learn more, you'll get smarter, you'll get stronger. But with number two, think about that for a minute. Number two, you don't learn anything. And that brings me to another point. be a learner. You really need to be a learner in business. We really all need to be learners, not a know-it-all. There's a great story about Sam Walton. There were some guys in Brazil back in the 80s that they had bought a discount retail chain, and they wrote letters to all of the people in the big retail stores in the United States were basically asking the CEOs of those stores to share some advice with them about what to do. Well, they didn't get an answer from most of the people they wrote to. Or if they did get an answer, it would be writing back and say, basically, I don't have time for you. But one of the guys that wrote them back and agreed to meet with them was Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart. So they all show up there to have a meeting with the guy. And they got off the plane out there in Arkansas. And this white-haired guy introduced himself. And he took him over to his pickup truck. Now they got in there along with his dog and drove over to his house. And over the next few days, he spent time talking to them, and they said that he would be talking to them while he's drying dishes at his sink, just discussing things with them. And not only was he answering questions of them, he asked them a lot of questions about their business and what they thought about retail, and was quite interested in what they would think about. And he was saying, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? He's getting their ideas. They were absolutely impressed with that. Because Walmart's success worried Sam Walton, and he sort of worried about it. He never got arrogant about it. He's like, okay, we're where we are, and we're very fortunate to be where we are, and we need to be absolutely certain that we are not arrogant at what we're doing. We don't know it all. A learner. Well, it says a lot about a company like Walmart. And you can love or hate Walmart, but you cannot argue the fact that they've been incredibly successful, and they were founded by this rather remarkable gentleman who never let success go to his head, and who up until the time he died was a quiet, humble person that always tried to learn from other people. So be a learner. Be a learner. And here's something else that I think that just in terms of company decline, you absolutely cannot overlook. And I mentioned it a little bit earlier, is that your company depends on the people you surround yourself with. I've quoted many times a Zig Ziglar saying that says, you don't build a company, you build people and they build a company. Back a minute to, I've always liked Collins' bus analogy, the idea of that the business is like a bus. It's the leader's job to put the right people in the seats of that bus, and that who is in those seats will determine where that bus can go, not where the leader wants to take it. Because you try to take one with the wrong people somewhere, you're going to mess up. If you grab any business owner, and that would include me, that has built businesses, and you ask them what are their most unfavorite things to do, and almost all of us will tell you that we don't like hiring. We don't like firing either, but we don't like the hiring process. It's we know it's important. We know we've seen clearly the results of bad hires. And, the bad hire is not just the money that you waste on hiring the wrong person. It is the lost opportunities you've had in your company. It's the declining morale in your company. It's the energy it's taken out of you and out of other people in your organization to hire the wrong person. In a worst case scenario, it's actually hurt you with customers, although I would hope you would be able to step in and stop that. It's extremely important that we hire the right people. And if you find your company in decline, again, there's two approaches, both of which are wrong. One is to ignore who you have in the seats in your company. That's absolutely wrong. The other is to go immediately, instead of blaming yourself, go start blaming all the people that work for you, when the fact of the matter is they may not be doing a good job because you're not a good leader. I mean, that may well be the problem. One more segment to come. I'm Eddie Mayfield. You're listening to Driven to Business. Back in just a moment. Welcome back to the final segment of Driven to Business. By the way, reminding you, if you've missed part of today's program, it will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com immediately following this program and eventually on iTunes and other places as well. Glad you're here. Been talking about how companies decline, how you spot the decline, and probably just as importantly is what do you do about a decline. You know, we all do think about the fact that companies decline because they don't get enough business, and that does happen. That does happen. But companies also decline, as I've mentioned here several times, because they outstrip themselves in growth. And for those of you that are perhaps in startup situations, you may say, well, I'd love to have that problem. Well, you'd probably love to have the customers. You would not love to have the problem because, you know, the end result is the same. You end up out of business. David Packard, one of the founders of Hewlett-Packard, said that a great company, assuming you are a great company is more likely to die of indigestion from too many opportunities than from starvation from too little. And what he means by that, we've run across this even in our company. You know, we're in the electronic motor drive field. Well, that marries into some of, that's a very small little niche of business right there, very small little niche. So the temptation for us has always been to sort of expand that niche and look outside it and do other things. And there are times, there have been some products and services where that has absolutely been a great thing for us. We've done it. We have also, however, we've made this mistake. We've expanded a little wider than we should go and done a bad job in an area in which we have no expertise. We have very little expertise, but you know, we just sort of push ourselves out there. And those are not good situations. So it's important, I think, to focus in on what it is that you do. In the first place, you need to be able to define what you do. I had some friends, I mentioned this before, I had some friends several years ago that were having some problems in business, and they asked me to come in and just talk to them about their business, so I did. Well, the first thing I asked was, okay, tell me what you guys do. And they talked about 30 minutes, and when they finished talking, I had no clue what they did. And I told them, I said, this is a problem. If you can't define what you do in 30 minutes, and really you need to be able to do it a lot quicker than that. If you can't define what you do in a couple of sentences, you need to think that through. You're too widely spread. You're not being clear in what it is. And here is the situation. If you're not clear about it, no one else is going to be clear about it. No one's going to know what to buy from you if they don't even know what the heck it is you're selling. So you've got to be able to hone that in. In sales, especially if you're in the sales area, it's very important to focus. It's and I'll tell you something else, it's very energizing to focus. And it's very discouraging to be trying to call on the universe. It's very discouraging because you're not going to have much luck with it in the first place, and you're going to have no clue who to call on. Who am I supposed to call in the universe? Let's pick the phone book up and start calling people. I've actually done that a few times in my career in other jobs and so forth, and that is very, very, very discouraging way to make a living. Hone in on what a customer for your company would look like, what they should do, I mean, what you should do to get them, and what influences them, and hone in on them, and begin to figure out ways to build relationships with people that matter in that idea, who it is. Identify who, and one way to figure out who your prospects are, obviously, is to figure out who your customers are now, and what's the deal. You know, we're all this way. It's very tempting to see green grass over in the other field, isn't it? While ignoring our own lawn and letting weeds pop up all over the place. Well, you know, deal with the weeds in your own lawn. If you've got something wrong in your company, don't be looking over the grass at a different business that you're not in. Because I promise you, the people in that business have problems too. Anybody that thinks there's such thing as owning a business with no problems has never owned a business or even worked in one. That's just not life. Try to have a growing leader in the background if you have employees. You know, one of the problems that many founders of companies do is that they end up being that they do everything person. You know, everything in the company revolves around them. And that is a well-known, documented, discussed problem that if you're going to grow, build a growing business, you're going to have to get it where you don't do everything. You're going to have to get to grow some people in that business. But what happens often then is you have one or two key people. You focus in on them, and they are great people. They're great people. They're great people. But you somehow think it's going to always stay that way. Well, you know, things happen. People die. People get sick. People get mad at you. The competitors just make them an incredible offer and steal them away, and you think that can't happen. Yeah, it can't. It can't happen. So you always need to have as much as you can. Think of the future and be training people in the background. It's a good way to be sure that you don't find yourself in a decline. I mean, think of a baseball team. They always have backup pitchers in the bullpen. And are they as good as the superstars out there? Well, maybe not in the beginning, but, you know, a lot of them become as good as a superstar out there. You've got to give them that opportunity. And as I mentioned in the last segment, do the right things when times are good so that when things get tough, you're ready for it. You know, I've heard it said that people that are kind of preppers, you know, that they have extra food, and we do a little bit of this. You have extra food in your house and, you know, things like that. And, you know, you'll talk to them and they'll say, well, you know, what's the downside of being prepared? You're going to have a little bit extra food in your basement. What's the downside if there's a disruption in the food chain of some sort and you don't have it in your basement? So that's where they look at it. Well, it's the same way in your company. You know, look at your company's systems and procedures and how well you're doing. Constantly look at it. And you know, you've got to be a leader that people can come give bad news to. And you also, you've got to take off rose-colored glasses and really look very hard. You know, we have in our company several times, and and I'll tell you, it's embarrassing to stop and do a really, really, really hard look at your company because, you know, most of us, we sort of internalize and we have a lot of ego mixed in with this. We all do that. You really need to be a good leader. You need to learn to set that aside, push that aside, and look at the reality. And the fact that you've got a few things wrong with your company doesn't mean you're not a great company. It just means you've got a few things wrong with your company. Well, you know, we all have things wrong with us at some time or another. So learn how to deal with that and be prepared and make changes and don't start sliding down these packs. So let's review a little bit at the end of the program here. We start off by talking about the fact that every company has a little bit of decline once in a while. And stopping a decline doesn't necessarily mean you go to some giant change, although there's sort of an almost intuitive response to do that. Panic and make huge changes because, in fact, the wrong change will make it worse. You got to be thinking about it. There are a lot of ways to fail in business. That's a fact. I wish it weren't, but it is. There are probably more ways to fail than there are to succeed if you were to sit down and start writing them all down. The trick is, you know, don't do them as the old Henry Young would joke. You know, the doctor, this hurts when I do that. He says, well, don't do that. You know, it's the same thing. Learn not to fail. Don't do the things that make you fail. You can pull a company out of decline, although it's hard. I want to review one more time because I think it's great. Jim Collins, 5 stages of a company decline. The first one I think is the most important one, probably the one that hits all of us the hardest, is hubris born of success. In other words, arrogance born of your success. You've been really good at doing something. You've had success at it. Therefore, you immediately assume you know all about it. Well, you don't. Nobody got there by themselves. And I'm all about individualism and I'm not one of these guys who thinks the government helped you build your business or anything like that. But nobody built a business by themselves. You had some breaks along the way. Somebody helped you out. Don't be so arrogant about it. Think about that. That's the first step. Hubris born of success. If you don't deal with that, the next step you fall into is undisciplined pursuit of more, where you think you know everything, so you just begin, we've had success, we know everything, let's just get bigger, 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 and grow without having any idea of the fact that you're not doing a good job for customers, that you've got other issues to deal with. The undisciplined pursuit of more, denial of risk and peril, deny that there's problems. And then finally, you slide into a horrible stage, grasping for salvation. And the next stage is a capitulation to irrelevance or death. And nobody wants to be there. Hope you enjoyed today's program. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock right here on Atlanta's Biz 1190. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com. You can email me at eddie@eddiemayfield.com. See you again next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.